You're listening to Faith in Healthcare, the CMDA Matters podcast. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chupp.
Welcome, friends. We are kicking off a new chapter, and I could not be more excited to bring you the very first episode under our new name, Faith in Healthcare, where we continue to explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. So whether you are in healthcare, married, or otherwise connected to someone who is, or you're just simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad that you're here. You can still expect the same inspiring stories, the bold voices, and the meaningful conversations from healthcare professionals who are across the globe living out their faith in exam rooms or operating rooms, classrooms, and beyond. That's not going to change. But with this new name, we're highlighting what this podcast has always been about, the intersection of faith and healthcare, and what happens when your faith shows up in the moments that matter most. This isn't just a name change, it's actually a declaration. Because now more than ever, in today's contested moral landscape, we need to shine the light of Christ in healthcare and spread hope, truth, and expert care. To remind one another that we're not alone, and to help more believers in healthcare find their place in this growing gospel-centered community. Our prayer is that this new chapter reaches more hearts, brings fresh encouragement, and draws even more faithful men and women into our CMDA family. Because this community we're building, it matters, it's growing, and we're stronger and more anchored together. This episode today is a special one, and it may just reshape how you think about addiction, recovery, and the healing power of Scripture. Dr. David Hager is a longtime member of CMDA. He's an OBGYN doc, an infectious disease specialist, a former government advisor, and an award-winning educator who, in retirement, is just getting started. You may remember him from a previous episode in which we talked about his book, On the Way, Ministering in the Moment. But today we're going to dive into his newest release, and it's called Restoring Your Temple, Seven Steps to Inner Healing and Peace. Dr. Hager is going to share how God used a morning quiet time and a powerful connection between 2 Chronicles and 1 Corinthians to reveal an ancient biblical framework for recovery. His insight into the spiritual and physiological dimensions of addiction, I think it's deeply compelling, and his stories from decades of ministry, whether in churches or clinics and even prisons, reminds us what real hope looks like. So let's listen in. I'm delighted to welcome to the program Dr. David Hager, who's an OBGYN with a very long career, who's now retired, but God had many other things for Dr. David Hager to do in his career, including writing some books. His past includes a long-term association, not only with CMDA, he's an award winner, I believe he was our Educator of the Year or Servant of the Year several years ago, but also with Focus on the Family, working closely with the Physicians Research Council there, and highly published OBGYN, involved in government circles. And boy, your CV, Dr. Hager, just goes on and on and on. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but in our show notes today, people can refer to that. But welcome back, because we had you on the program talking about your book, On the Way, a year or so ago. So welcome back to CMDA Matters.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be with you, and you're too kind in your comments.
Well, you have another book out, a book entitled Restoring Your Temple, Seven Steps to Inner Healing and Peace. And so I want our listeners to hear from you. How did an academic OBGYN who got extra training in infectious disease get interested in addiction recovery?
Yeah, it's a great question. Sometimes I pinch myself and ask myself the same question. I really believe, Mike, being an OBGYN, we're really family oriented. We're always dealing with families. offspring, what's going on with kids we delivered. And I just began to notice that there were so many times when those families were struggling with, dealing with addictive behaviors in their immediate family or their extended family. And I would hear those stories. So in 1995, I went to Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church, and John Baker, who wrote the curriculum for Celebrate Recovery, was there, and I spent time with him, and he really inspired me, coming out of addiction himself, about the need related to ministry, especially among professionals, ministry dealing with persons who deal with addictive behaviors. And so that struck a chord in my heart, and I've been doing it ever since. I've been leading groups, I've been training groups, and God has just brought that into my being to have a passion for that, in addition to obstetrics and gynecology and infectious disease, which I did for a long time.
Well, you're explaining your association with Rick Warren and Saddleback Church helps me to understand. Multiple times in your book, you talk about and refer to Celebrate Recovery. And so your familiarity with that program that has just gone all across the country and has impacted many, many, maybe hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives over the years. I wanted to ask you, so when in this journey did you suddenly have that aha moment, probably from the Holy Spirit, to connect 2 Chronicles with 1 Corinthians 6, especially verses 19 and 20, and say, wow, there are parallels here that are amazing. And some of the endorsements for your book, someone said, Dr. Hager is the first person to put these two together. You think in 2,000 years, are you the first person to put these two together?
I don't know about that, Mike, but it was a new idea, and I combed the literature and couldn't find anything. But one of the terms that I use frequently is, I truly believe Holy Spirit downloads into us. Mm-hmm. But we need to be sensitive enough to hear that voice and recognize that voice.
Sure.
If you're not dealing with Holy Spirit on a regular basis, then you don't recognize His voice. But back to your question, in my quiet time every morning early, John Patrick, a long time ago, got me on reading a psalm, an Old Testament reading, and a New Testament reading. So that particular day, the psalm was Psalm 107, and we actually now call that the Attic Psalm. Hmm. It talks about breaking chains and bending bars. So that was my psalm for the morning. And the New Testament reading was 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So Paul was trying to use the allegory of a temple, which the Jewish people would recognize intimately, the ancient temple, and saying that that temple can be in you. Holy Spirit doesn't have to dwell in a structure, but can dwell in your heart. And my Old Testament reading that day was 2 Chronicles 29 and 30. And in that particular passage, Ahaz had died, and Hezekiah was his son. And at 25 years of age, he became king. And the very first thing he did, Mike, was to say, the temple's closed, the doors are closed up tight, nobody can get in to worship, to praise God, to know God. I'm going to open the doors of the temple. And as I read through, it was just amazing. There were these 7 steps that Hezekiah outlined about how to restore the temple. So here's Paul talking about the temple is within, Holy Spirit can dwell within, and Hezekiah talking about how to restore it so that it can be open. And it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, you think that your programs are new? You think your steps of recovery are new? I've been doing this a long time. That's exactly yeah. what I felt like he said. So that's where that came from, and that allegory, and I've tried to portray it in Restoring Your Temple.
David, isn't it remarkable, as I read through your book and thought about this young Hezekiah, You know, he was the age of most of our medical and dental students and other healthcare professional students when all this was taking place. So, you know, Paul said, let no man despise your youth, you know, Timothy. And so our listeners out there who are young, you know, what huge differences and a revolution, a good, holy revolution can take place under the leadership of those who are relatively young. So you talk about spiritual preparation as a critical step here. Could you elaborate how this aligns with Hezekiah's own spiritual preparation before bringing about these seven steps to restore the temple and its relevance today for our overcoming personal challenges?
Hezekiah, it's also interesting. Hezekiah came out of a home where his dad did not adhere to the principles of God. He strayed away from those, which is fairly unusual. Most of us who come out of Christian homes, and then we follow up on that, but there are many, and as you mentioned, his age, 25 years of age, I wish I'd had his maturity at that time, but he was able to recognize that without God, my people that I'm in charge of now are going to perish. They need to know about Jehovah. They need to know about Yahweh, and they need to be able to come to a place where they can worship him and receive from him. And so his preparation wasn't ideal, but he surrounded himself with priests and advisors who were able to enable him to accomplish the spiritual principles that he set out to do. And so related to the young listeners right now, the point I would make to them is make sure you surround yourself with people you can trust, with people who have the same goals and objectives that you do, and individuals who are on the same faith journey.
I want you to just very briefly outline, and then we'll take a deep dive on these seven steps. And you know, you mentioned that in Celebrate Recovery there are 12 steps, and really what you find in 2 Chronicles are seven steps. And the first one of Open the Doors reminded me of that Sunday school song that I used to sing. So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin, open up your heart and let the sun shine in. Yep. Tell us about the seven steps and this spiritual preparation, jumping right in, of opening the doors and exposing the crud that's inside.
Yeah, so open the doors I use to say we've got to move out of denial. So the biggest hindrance to recovery from sin, from addiction, is to be in denial. I don't have that sin. You know, I can take care of this myself. I've got this. I can handle this. And the failure to recognize that an addiction is a behavior that we cannot control. And so Hezekiah recognized that the doors had to be opened to allow God, Holy Spirit, to come in. But they had to move out of denial that there was a problem. There were major issues there. The second step is Hezekiah admitted that he was powerless on his own. You mentioned others coming in. And so he immediately called the priests to come and help him to restore the temple. I can't do this alone. And we have to recognize we're powerless on our own to save ourselves. We need a higher power, and we name him Jesus. And we need the power of Holy Spirit. And in a moment, I'll touch on how Holy Spirit can sever synapses in the brain. The third step is that every sin and addiction must be confessed. You have to deal with everything. If Hezekiah had said, let's go in and clean out this portico, let's clean out the outer temple, but not the inner temple, and only done a partial job, it would have failed. Every sin, every addiction has to be confessed and dealt with. And as with the prodigal son in Luke 15, repentance. I think often we come to a place in our faith journey, as long as I just confess this to God, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, but we don't bring into the equation repentance, which means turning in a new direction and moving away from that sin and addiction. The prodigal son got out of the pig pen and he walked toward home, and Jesus described Daddy standing there with arms wide open to receive him. The fourth step is that every area has to be turned over. You have to surrender every area to God's care and control. And then the fifth step involves inventory. And Dr. Carl Benzio, who wrote a promo in the book,
I saw that.
Said that he thinks this is the most important step of all. Because until we do a thorough, honest inventory, and I'll describe that real briefly, Mike, that means taking everything that's been done in your life, everything that's happened to you, and list the person or thing that's happened. And in the second column, you list what they did. What was the action they took against you? How did they harm you, hurt you? The third column is the immediate effects. How did that immediately affect you? It caused me to be afraid. It caused me to have pain, whatever that was. The fourth column is the chronic effects. So it caused me to be depressed. It caused me to be anxious. It caused me to have low self-esteem. And then the fifth column is what was your part? What was your reaction? Have you forgiven? Have you made amends? Have you dealt with what was done to you? And so Hezekiah inventoried everything that came out of the temple. So he did a thorough, honest inventory. The sixth step was he called the people and he said, God has shown me that this temple needs to be restored. Let's praise him and thank him for it. So gratitude and praise has to come into it. Now, here's the key thing, Mike. The seventh step for Hezekiah was to receive the Passover lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have asked me, David, why would that be step seven? It's got to be step one. Well, there's a term I use in recovery ministry, Mike, and that's pixie dust recovery. There are a lot of people, especially in our church families, who want pixie dust recovery. Just pray for me, sprinkle me with a little pixie dust. Everything will be okay. God will take care of everything, and I won't have to do any work. Hezekiah recognized that all of that work had to be done, or else the people would go back, as they had so often, back to their pagan ways. And so in Hezekiah's steps, it's step seven. For somebody else, it may be step one or two. But we must recognize that we have to do the bucket work. We can't just surrender our lives to Jesus, make him our higher power, accept him as Savior and Lord, and then say, oh, that's it for me. I don't have to do anything else. And so those are that's the gist of the seven steps of Hezekiah.
Thank you, David. Great summary.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Fall is full of upcoming 2025 CMDA conferences. The Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ Commission will be holding their annual conference September 4th through 7th, 2025 in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the beautiful Hotel Albuquerque, right in the heart of Old Town and the Rising Sawmill District. This conference is one of the very best ways to experience the belonging, support, and equipping that is at the heart of the WPDC ministry. CME is available, and we invite you to explore all the conference details and register today at wpdc.cmda.org. The 2025 Midwest Fall Conference is happening September 26th through 28th at the Maranatha Retreat Center on the shores of Lake Michigan. This gathering features speakers like Dr. Far Curlin, Dr. Stephen Coe, and a special panel with Dr. Carl Truman. You can earn up to 6 CME credits, and there's a full children's program for kids 12 and under, making it a wonderful weekend for individuals or the whole family. Join us for the 2025 Northeast Regional Retreat, October 24th through 26th at Sandy Cove Ministries in Northeast Maryland. This year's theme is Faith Embodied, led by Dr. Stephen Coe, a pediatrician and preventative medicine physician at Mass General Brigham in Boston. Continuing education credit is available. First-time attendees can also find an additional discount code on the event page. Learn more about all of these events and register at cmda.org/events. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
You know, I've had other guests on the program over the last several years talking about addiction and recovery, and including Dr. Don Middleton, who is the chair of our addiction medicine section and who has written a couple of books as well. And one of the complaints, obviously, about the AA 12 steps is that, you know, they've forgotten about how the organization launched and anchoring to the higher power of Jesus and certainly the power of God's word. So how do you, in a contemporary setting, integrate scripture and God's truth into an addiction counseling ministry with those who are struggling and chained?
Well, number one, there's absolutely no doubt that Christ-centered recovery programs, Jesus-based recovery programs, have a lower recidivism rate than other programs. And so there are data out there to back up the fact that unless you have a true higher power, not some tree, not some object, that you worship, you need a higher power who has a name. His name is Jesus, and he wants to not only restore your temple, restore you, but to live inside of you. In John 14, Jesus said, "If I go away, I will send a comforter, and he will not only be with you, he will be in you." That's what Paul was trying to say. Holy Spirit that Jesus sends, that comforter, can live in you and transform your life. What we have found way back, I did some work with National Institutes of Health back when Joe McElhaney and I were working together. And Dr. Jay Geed at NIH did some color Doppler flow studies of the brain. And he was able to show in color Doppler flow the synapses that formed between an axon and a dendrite. So just briefly, a stimulatory event. Let's say that you see a nude photograph. All of a sudden, an axon fires a dopamine signal, a neurotransmitter signal, to a dendrite, and a synapse is formed. That synapse is there. Science has shown, Jay showed, that we have billions of synapses in our brain. Anytime there's an excitatory event, a stimulating event, that dopamine high is achieved. That's the reason that persons with addictions go back to the addiction. They want to achieve a dopamine high again. Mm-hmm. But it takes more and more dopamine to achieve that high. And so they have to have more of the drug, more of alcohol, more of sex, and so forth. What we have found is only the power of Holy Spirit can sever synapses. Synapses are permanent. And all the literature will tell you they are permanent. But we have found in our work that the power of Holy Spirit in an individual's life can actually sever those synapses so they don't have that desire to go back to them. And so that's the reason that we name Jesus as our higher power. We incorporate Holy Spirit because of the results that we have seen achieved.
Now, Hezekiah's work, Dr. Hager, had lasting impact. I mean, clearly we wish, in looking back at what happened to the children of Israel, to the nation of, you know, the Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom, we wish that it had been a permanent change. It wasn't, right. But it did have some sustainability. How can individuals maintain their progress and recovery from addiction and sustain this inner healing and peace in the long term, especially in challenging environments like healthcare settings? So just talking about our colleagues out there, and clearly addictions within healthcare professionals, including Christ followers, is significant. So how can these recoveries be sustained over the long haul?
What we're all trying to do when we latch on to an addictive behavior is to cope. We're trying to cope with our mental state, our emotional state. Give me some substance, something, some act that I can do that will pacify that. We call that temporary satisfaction, but what Jesus offers is permanent fulfillment. So rather than going after temporary satisfaction, try to go with permanent fulfillment. That is the key, especially in our high-stress fields, because when that stress comes, we want something to relieve it. I want something that will enable me to cope with that stress, cope with that anxiety, cope with that tension of having five cases to do today in the operating room. And so that power of Holy Spirit, that power of Jesus, can come in and enable us to shoot for permanent fulfillment. And the way we do that is right out of the Gospel of Matthew, getting in yoke with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So in yoke with Jesus, I can plow a straight road. All these distractions that are off to the side, that are trying to pull me aside, these temptations, in yoke with Jesus, I'm not going to submit to those. God promises in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that he will always provide a way of escape. But we have to look for that way of escape and listen for that way of escape, or else we miss it. And in my book, Simmering Anger, Smoldering Rage, I talk about going to the well. Wait. When you confront a situation of anger and rage, evaluate the situation, listen to the voice of Holy Spirit, and look for the path of escape or resolution. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Jesus wants for us. He doesn't want us to live in a life where we're constantly submitting to the temptations that Satan throws at us, because Satan loves for us to live in addictive behaviors.
Well, you've had a number of rodeos. You've been down the path of life and interacted with so many. And our previous discussion about on the way, a challenge for us is just like Jesus, when a woman with bleeding for 12 years comes along, he takes the time to do ministry. And you've got lots of great stories. Anything you could share with our listeners in terms of these seven steps and how you've applied them? Because in your book, at the end, you tell some stories.
Well, in On the Way, I tell the story of Pastor Joseph, which was one of my most satisfying stories, a pastor. And these are all real-life stories, Mike. I changed the names and places, but Pastor Joseph had strayed. He'd gotten into sexual addiction. He was having affairs. He was still pastoring his church. And he came to me, and he wanted some pixie dust. He wanted me to pray for him, not in his church, and wanted to go away. And when I said, you're going to have to confess this to your church. You're going to have to first confess it to your wife and deal with this. And he left very angry. It was like the rich young ruler. He left very angry because he didn't want to have to go through that. And as I describe in the book, 3 years later, my wife Pam and I meet him in New York, kind of by accident. And he has finally come to the place where he's confessing and truly repenting, walking in a new direction. And now he's leading recovery ministries. The other area that really excites me is dealing with the prisoners. I have several prisoners right now in my groups. It's kind of interesting, Mike. It's been about 2 months ago. This guy calls me and he says, I hear you've got a men's recovery group, and can I possibly come by? And I said, yes. And he said, well, wait a minute. You may not want me in that group. And I said, why is that? He said, I'm on parole. And I kind of started laughing. And I said, brother, what you don't realize is we're all on parole. We've all been given second chances, third chances, fourth chances. So yeah, you come and join us. And the testimonies of some of those prisoners, one guy who had no biblical background whatsoever, family had never been to church, and he was in the second time for aggravated assault, and Holy Spirit came into his room. He'll tell you. And this light came into my room, this dark room, and I felt the power of Holy Spirit, and now he's leading other prisoners to Christ. So we've done a poor job in the church, like, of if somebody doesn't measure up, we kind of want to ease them over to the side. Yeah, you can sit in the back or you can sit over here, rather than being like Jesus described the Father with open arms and saying, yeah, come home. Conviction is not condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we take anybody, we receive them. Have we had failures? Yes. Have we had overdose deaths? Yes. Have we had people gone back into addiction? Yes. But the vast majority, because of the power of Holy Spirit, have maintained their journey in recovery and restoration.
David, earlier you were telling me that you've developed, speaking of prisoners, a video series for prisoners. Tell our listeners a little bit about that, and can they access these videos and actually make use of them?
They don't have access to them right now. So my son, Neil, who wrote On the Way, Ministering in the Moment with me, and I have put together a video series. And right now we're kind of negotiating with a company that runs 16 federal prisons. Mm. And they have given us the opportunity to present a Christ-centered program, mention the name of Jesus. At the end, I give an invitation to discipleship with Christ. And so it's a nine-part video series that goes through the steps. We call it the keys to restoration, the keys that unlock the prison cell. Hopefully, once we get that in the prison system, then it will also be available. Several organizations, as you mentioned, CMDA, several organizations have asked, can we have access to this? So we're going to work on that to try to get this out. But it will be a video from Restoring Your Temple, which we call Keys to Restoration.
Thank you. We'll look forward to those connections and be able to pass it along to our listeners later. You've also got a ministry presentation that you've put together called Pearls of Recovery. Just as we wind down here today, talk to us about that presentation, what it entails.
I gave that presentation at Focus on the Family. Jim Daly has been so kind to Jim Dobson before and Jim Daly now to keep me involved there. I do the medical advisory work in OBGYN for the Physicians Resource Council, and have been doing that for well over 25 years. So I gave a presentation there to their staff and their counselors that I call Pearls of Recovery Ministry, the things that often are overlooked that I've learned over these years, these 30 years of doing recovery ministry. And not to go through all those pearls, Mike, but I think the biggest pearl is this. It's not the what, it's the why. So when you come to me and you say, David, I'm really struggling with sexual addiction. I've been into pornography for the last 10 years. I've had two affairs. I often will say, I don't really care about that. What I want to know is why you did that. And we call those root issues. So the why, the deep-seated root issues, the basic root issues are rejection, abandonment, abuse, neglect, and parent wounds. And so we get into the deep-seated root issues that cause behavior, not necessarily the behavior itself, because people get caught up in, well, I don't want to drink anymore, but they don't take care of why they drink. They say that they want to throw out all the pornographic literature, but the next thing you know, they're on their computer looking at something. We want to deal with the why and not the what. So I think those are a couple of the keys from the pearls that I would pass along with the idea of not looking for temporary satisfaction, but looking for permanent fulfillment.
Well, Dr. David Hager, I thank you for joining us today. And you have fulfilled a vision of mine for this weekly podcast. One of the things I enjoy most is bringing on healthcare professionals, physicians, dentists, and others who've walked a journey with Christ and who've demonstrated are clear examples, opened windows of understanding of how to bring the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world. That's our vision statement at CMDA. And you've been doing that a long time. So not only are you accomplishing the vision, but you've not stopped doing it in your seventh or eighth. I won't ask how many years it's been, but you've been doing that a long time. You haven't quit. You're a little bit like Billy Graham in healthcare. It's just there's no such thing as retirement. So thank you for your faithfulness and for writing this book and sharing it with us. Easily digestible within an afternoon. I think most folks can get through most of it. Restoring Your Temple, 7 Steps to Inner Healing and Peace, and I'm sure they can get that on Amazon. Any final comments before we close the program today, Dr. Hager?
Well, Mike, I just really hope that providers who are listening will consider, as you said, not only getting a copy of the book for themselves, but give it to your patients. You have patients who need to hear the truth of the gospel. They need to hear the incorporation, as you said so eloquently, incorporating the gospel message into the recovery message. And on the way, ministering in the moment, simmering anger, smoldering rage, and now restoring your temple, all attempt to do that. And I'd love to have providers just keep some copies in their office to give away.
Well, God bless you. I hope we get to see you at a national convention down the road. And maybe you can share some of this good stuff in a breakout session in one of our regional or national meetings someday, Dr.
I'd be
Hager.
Honored to do so.
What an amazing reminder that true healing begins not with behavior management, but with heart restoration. Dr. Hayer's message, it's more than a model for addiction recovery. It's a call to each of us to open the doors of our lives to the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're battling hidden struggles, supporting a friend, or simply feeling spiritually dry, I think that restoring your temple is a timely and grace-filled guide. And as Dr. Hager so beautifully shared, it's not about temporary satisfaction, but about pursuing permanent fulfillment in Jesus Christ. To learn more about his ministry or to order his books, you can check out the links in today's show notes. And to learn more about the wide range of resources that we offer at CMDA to support you in your calling, from the CMDA Go mobile app for community and event access, to nearly 400 online courses available through our CMDA Learning Center, visit us at cmda.org. You'll also find our HealthWise Public Service Announcement Radio Library, a faith-based bookstore, the quarterly CMDA Today magazine, and the Point blog, all designed to help you live out your faith with excellence and with compassion throughout your entire professional journey. If this episode encouraged you, please consider sharing it with your colleagues, your church community, or anyone navigating recovery or spiritual renewal. And follow the podcast on social media to stay connected. Next week, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Paul Offit, who is a world-renowned vaccinologist, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and director of the Vaccine Education Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. As the co-inventor of the rotavirus vaccine, RotaTeq, and a longtime advisor to the CDC and FDA, Dr. Offit brings both deep expertise and a very thoughtful perspective to the topic of vaccinations. Joining me is going to be Dr. Amy Givler as co-host. She's a longtime CMDA member, family physician serving in Louisiana. She's a cancer survivor, and she's author of the book, Hope in the Face of Cancer. Amy brings a faith-filled lens to healthcare and is passionate about helping her patients, her colleagues, and her community understand complex medical issues, especially vaccination science. Together, we'll explore with Dr. Offit the challenges and convictions surrounding vaccines today and how believers in healthcare can engage this topic with truth and wisdom and grace. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for listening to Faith in Healthcare, the weekly podcast from the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, where our mission remains the same: bringing the hope and the healing of Christ to our world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That's what matters to CMDA friends. As we step into this new chapter, our prayer is that each episode reminds you that you're not alone, that your faith matters, and that your work matters. And together, we're part of something that's so much bigger. May you recognize this week that the Lord is with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time, Lord willing, on Faith in Healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Faith in Healthcare, the CMDA Matters podcast. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.